For WKU Public Radio, I'm Barbara Deeb. After all these years, you know, when do you know it's time to call it quits, to start a new chapter?
You just know. You just know when it's time to quit. And in my case, it had a good deal to do with the calendar on the wall that you know, that they're just getting older. And that was part of it. The 300-mile round trip to Frankfurt got a little longer. You just know when it's time. And I feel very comfortable with it. I will miss it because I've done it so much, and I want to give them pointers, but I'm ready to do something different.
When you first went into office, 1975,
right.
We can talk a little bit about how things have changed, but in general, you got to a place also where you thought, this is not what I signed up for.
That's true. Neva and I got married in October 19th of 1975, and 2 months later, there came an opening in the Kentucky House. And I asked Miss Neva if it'd be okay if I ran, and she said, "Well, if you don't spend any of our money," and I said, "Well, we don't have any," so that issue was off the table.
Moot.
But first of all, the legislature was not as important then. The governor made the decisions. We were only in session 60 calendar days out of the 24 months. So we were out of town, and the governor ran the state for 22 months.
And who was it in 1975?
Well, Governor Carroll was elected governor the same day I was elected to the House. Now the legislature is so much more important. We meet 60 business days, one long session, and 30 business days in the odd-numbered years. But then we meet all year round. We have committee meetings all year round. So it's a different setup than when I ran first, because you didn't have much power then. I was fortunate enough to get to be the education committee chair at the end of my first term because the chair left the legislature to take a state job. The very next day that we met, there was a black notebook that appeared on my desk. And it told me the bills that we were going to vote on that day and how I was going to vote on them. And that came directly from the governor's office. Now, how different that is, one didn't have to do a lot of homework in those days. There happened to be enough of us in that time that wanted to really make a difference.
So basically, back in the day, in the 1975, yeah, when you first got into office, all you had to do was toe the party line.
Absolutely. And also in those days, you just had, nobody visited the legislature much. Say, the lobbyists didn't, we didn't have much power, so they dealt with the governor. And the only office we had was our desk on the floor. And there were six telephones lined up against the wall. Of course, that was way before cell phones. And often there would be a pretty good line trying to get a phone.
So looking back, let's reflect on the decade.
In the 80s, of course, I was education chair for 8 years, and then in 1987, I ran for caucus chair. The five leaders in the majority party, the speaker, the majority leader, caucus chair, whip, and speaker pro tem, that's the leadership. And I wanted to be in leadership because that's where the decisions are made. If I was going to be able to do something to help Bowling Green, Western, our school systems, one had to be in leadership. So I did that, and then served that into the 90s, 95, and then that's when I became speaker.
As you walked away from 1975 through 1980, do you feel like you made a difference in that five-year period, or were you just too new and learning your way to really make a difference?
We made a difference because luckily in that first year, the governor was in power, but he, Representative Buddy Adams, and I went the same year, and we prevailed upon the governor to allow us to have a project each. And I was able to, my project was funding the new part of the Kentucky building, the taller part of the Kentucky building. And Representative Adams and I worked together to get the L.D. Brown Exposition Center at the farm. We were pretty pleased about that first session. And then when I got to be in leadership, I was able to help get the funding for what is now the Preston Building.
We're talking about the Preston Center, which is located on the WKU campus. But you also, when I first started interviewing you, you were so involved with Kentucky's education reform, first go round.
All the governors wanted to be known as education governors. In 88, 66 school systems around the state sued the legislature for underfunding and not consistent funding. Some systems were funded much better than others. So equal funding. So they won the case, and so the Supreme Court gave us till in 89, they gave us till July 1st of 1990 to totally redo the system. They said the whole system of Kentucky education was void, null and void, because it tended to help some students more than others. So we didn't know what to do. Similar suits had been brought in Arkansas and West Virginia and some other places, but they just sort of punted. They just did enough to get by. We met one night for dinner, kind of a potluck, out in a cabin on the Kentucky River, and we talked about what we should do. And you know, as the conversation continued, we thought, well, this is our one opportunity to really make a difference. So we came out of that, appointed six co-chairs. I was one of the co-chairs to deal with the curriculum committee. We hired a consultant. We had meetings, and we finally put this 943-page bill together. Some superintendents, we went a little farther than they wanted. They were not belittling them at all, because they were so underfunded, they wanted the money. And I understand that. But we thought there was an opportunity to make our standards tougher and stronger and help our kids. And I really believe it has changed Kentucky a lot.
So do you remember that moment when that almost 1,000-page bill, 943 pages, do you remember voting on it? And do you remember what that must have?
Oh, I remember.
I have chills you telling me.
I remember it exactly, because we had to raise funds. We raised over $1 billion.
With a B?
With a B. But we were that much underfunded. It was a good moment for the state. But now, if you look at our statistics, we're not below the middle in anything. And some things, we're up toward the top. And that, over time, will change Kentucky more than anything.
Now, there was a time, though, when you had to go back in, sort of tweak KIRA.
Yeah. There have been moments of tweaking. And the higher education changes in 1997 were important also. That was when we started calling the universities like Western comprehensive rather than regional. Community colleges were divested from UK and started this wonderful community college and technical college system that has about 105,000 students now. It was the right thing to do.
You are the consummate politician. You're the one that people respect, look up to. You're a man of your word. Did you set out in 1975, did you say, I'm going to be this kind of politician?
Thank you so much. I had good training. My parents were very strict. They taught me that you know the difference between right and wrong. You know, it's really been fun, and I've met a lot of great people. But I do think that over time, if we can get our educational statistics up, I think that's important. But and I've tried to do what was right.
You mentioned, we were talking about, you gave me some numbers earlier. When you first ran for office, now put this in perspective, listeners. Yeah. How much did you spend in 1975?
Well, in my primary, I had four opponents, and I spent $1,100. And now, of course, it's gotten so much more expensive. There's just too much money in politics. It ought to be an exchange of ideas and an exchange of dreams for the betterment of the state. It should be that, not who can run the most 30-second spots.
You, at one point in this almost half a century of political career, you decided you were going to run for governor.
Yeah. Got to go to all the counties in the state and meet some wonderful people. And I got pretty close in 03, lost about 10,000 votes out of, 300,000 or whatever. cast in the primary. I may not have been able to win the general election because Governor Fletcher was pretty popular then. If I'd have had another week and $100,000 more, I may have won. But it was a great experience.
But it was your time. And as it stands, you are the longest serving Speaker of the House of Representatives in the state of Kentucky. You made a difference in that role.
Well, that was my favorite role. That was a fun role. And now as I am trying to get together my memorabilia, and I have relived, it was a good time. And 14 years.
And just for the benefit of those who maybe didn't catch the broadcast version, you are going to do what now? What's retirement look like for you?
Well, I've been teaching a Kentucky government course at Western, and I love that. Those kids most of them are juniors and seniors, and they're pretty serious students, and all of them are interested in government. So they're just really fun. They're a delight. Then I'm the gardener at our house, and my wife, for 43 years, we haven't been able to go anywhere. I've gone to Frankfort, and she stayed in Bowling Green. It might be nice to spend a week or two in someplace warm, so...
In the winter months.
In the winter, yeah.
After nearly 43 years of serving the 20th House District, 14 of which were spent as Speaker of the Kentucky House of Representatives, Jody Richards, thank you.
Thank you very much. Enjoyed it very much, as always, Barb.